Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
It's okay to say that. You don't have to give an explanation as to why. You don't have to check in to see how his feelings. You don't have to do any of that because this is about you, and this is about you remaining safe in your body, your spirit, and your soul. That's why you have your intuition. Use it.
Hey, hey. You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, abundance. Solo episode. I'm in conversation with an incredibly powerful therapist. Her name is Candace. C. Anderson, and she is, and we're going to get into these initials in a minute because you're going to have to educate us on this, but MS and LPC, and she's the founder and CEO of
Revita
Therapy and Wellness, and she's a true industry leader in therapy, wellness, emotional healing, and empowerment. In today's conversation, this was planned before all these this whole thing with like deity and some other stuff came to light, but we're going to be diving deep into this pressing issue of trauma and harm, this trauma culture in Hollywood and this pervasive sexual assault culture and the urgent need to shift our focus from what women should be doing, you know, to protect themselves, to really addressing the behaviors and accountability of men. So we're going to go ahead and get into this. But first, I just want to say, hey, hey to you, C. Please introduce yourself. And then also, again, tell us what this whole MSLPCA, like, oh, give us all of that as well.
So thank you. Thank you so much, Brie, for having me. It's a pleasure. And it's a double pleasure anytime I get to come in and support women who look like me. So thank you so much for having me. And the MS is just a master's of science. And then the LPC is a licensed professional counselor. So that means that in addition to 3 years of graduate school, mm-hmm. I have about 3 years of additional experience in direct services and licensure and experience in the therapy room to meet the board requirement to be licensed. But of course, now I probably have, I'm sure, about a good 15,000 hours, 20,000 hours of supporting folks in the therapy room. So that's just what that means, that I'm just licensed and well-trained and educated to be able to say the things that we're going to talk about today.
And I love that you are, because I am not, I don't have the degrees behind my name. And I always try to remember to make sure that when I talk about things on this podcast, though I have obviously some knowledge, of course, mm-hmm. I'm not an expert. I can give it to you from my perspective, the things that I've gone through, the things I've survived or healed from, or what I'm still healing from that perspective. But it's always whenever I can have someone on that is, you know, an expert in the things that we are discussing, mm-hmm. I'm totally here for it because that's so important. It is so important, right?
Yeah. And that's due diligence to be able to say, while I may have some lived experience, mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have the theoretical or the educational experience to speak to certain things. And so I want to call in these experts. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That whole perfectionism thing was really a big thing for me. I know that that's just like the systems be system in, but it really tells you that you have to like show up in a certain way and like pretend, I guess, so that you can get a following or just pretend to be this guru and all that stuff. I ain't pretending. Like,
No,
that's just not what it is.
Please don't, because when I say that is so dangerous, I see people all the time following people who are talking about their own personal experiences, which may be cathartic, which is sometimes helpful. But when you are giving information to other people, it has to be what we call evidence-based, right? Meaning that I'm not generalizing my experience to everybody else, but this is what the studies and the empirical data and all of that says, because then we can really start to support and help people like we need to. But no, I can't make a decision about my relationship based on one video I saw from somebody that just decided to post a video.
Yes. Let's just go ahead and dive right in. And this is, I guess, spoiler alert or disclaimer, we're going to be talking about all kinds of trauma and sexual assault. If this is a topic that you're just not in a place to, like, it's just not for you right now, that is totally okay. Find another episode within the Brown Girl Self-Care platform that is going to better serve you today. Okay.
Right.
Right. But now we're going to go ahead and get into it. So, like, why see is this, and again, we planned this before, to my knowledge, before this kind of like blow up with Diddy, but like, why is this a relevant topic? Just what we're discussing today.
Because Diddy is some of our fathers, some of our husbands, some of our boyfriends past, some of our close male friends, and some of our brothers, right? Yes. I think that it's so unfortunate, but it's such a pertinent and always an on-time conversation because people are being abused right now.
Yes.
That doesn't go away.
Yeah.
So if we can recognize that this doesn't just happen to the woman who is struggling on the street, but also the woman who stays in the penthouse, then we start to understand how pervasive it is. It becomes a little more real, and we're able to see ourselves and to victim blame less.
Yeah, for sure. Something that you said that already stuck out to me. Sometimes it has to be someone in this place of power for it to happen to them or for them to speak up on it. For now it to be like this thing, but it's always been a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been a thing. And there are, you know, just if we look back to in history, any era, right?
Yeah.
We can find stories or documentation of what we now can identify as abuse, whether it was emotional, psychological, or physical. Yeah. We can find record of that.
Yeah.
I mean, if we go back to the Bible, we can find record of that.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So we don't always like to believe that bad things can happen to us. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to have these irrational beliefs that allow us to separate ourselves from the really hard things in life. For instance, one of the things I heard when it came to Cassie was that, oh, she stayed for the money, right? Mm-hmm. Or, oh, she stayed for, you know, whatever the reason may have been. Mm-hmm. When we literally just watched a video of the cost, the reprimand that came with attempting to flee, right? Or then we add in the, well, if that was me, that would never happen to me.
Never.
If a man did this, but you're still scared of your daddy, right? So we're not even understanding abuse in the context of family systems and cultural systems.
Yes.
We like to look at things sometimes, Bree. For instance, if we see an individual like just doing what they do, or maybe they're in some sort of mental health crisis, we like to look at them and we say things like, oh, that's just them. That's just their personality. It's trauma decontextualized. When we see people in a family, right? These dynamics, and they're just
disruptive and dysfunctional and harmful and toxic. We go, oh, that's just the way that they are. That's just how my family is. No, that's familial trauma, decontextualized. And then we like to look at other races, other groups of people and say, oh, that's what they do, not understanding that, no, you're seeing the result of trauma out of context. So if I put the context to it, it would make more sense. You'd be able to recognize it. But we do this dismissal of very real experiences, because if we dismiss it, then we don't have to look at where it's coming up in our own lives. Right? Because I can never be Cassie.
Right. Never happened to
me. I ain't gonna never be that stupid. Plenty of intelligent, educated, degreed women have been killed by their partners. Yeah. Just like women who've never graduated high school have been killed by their partners.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have to stop thinking that demographics will protect us from something that is pervasive in our society. And for Black women, our rate of abuse is about 3 times more.
Why? Why is that?
The first reason is that, one, let me first preface this with, any stats that you see around domestic violence, always remember that that's an under-reporting.
Yeah.
Because the stats that you see are only based on what is reported. And we found that only between maybe 5 and 7% of DV cases are actually reported, right? Where we can capture that data. So if it's not at the hospital, if it's not at a shelter, if it's not at a doctor's office, if it's not at a police station, if it's not being reported and talked about, we can't capture the data.
Yeah, you gotta be able to speak up, which is a whole challenge in itself.
Right. So first, one of the reasons why Black women find themselves at a greater risk is because we find ourselves often at the intersection of race and gender. So we're not just women, but we are Black women, a group of minority women. Secondly, we have a historical distrust of law enforcement and the judicial system.
Yeah.
So that means that in our own ability to, or our own attempt to try to navigate an already lethal situation, in our attempt to navigate an already dysfunctional and harmful situation, we often feel required and responsible for protecting our abuser, which 9 times out of 10 is a Black male. We don't, in other words, we don't want the people to get them.
Yeah. Can I just cut in real quick? Like,
of course.
I feel like with Black women, it's our instinct to protect by any means necessary.
But it's,
I've done it.
Yes, we all have, right? So it, not only is it instinct, but it's programming. Because the moment that all the stuff came out with Cassie, it was, y'all just trying to take a Black man down.
Of course.
Right? So when women go and they go to file charges, I mean, I've heard, trying to remember a specific incident because I can hear the person's voice in my head because I was just like, what? There was an incident where Let's talk. So I used to be in this prestigious internship program.
Okay.
And after I graduated from high school, I had an internship. And while my friends were making $5.15 an hour, I was making $13. So great organization, great team of people. And I was working in the IT department for the summer. And so I was swapping. This is when flat monitors like first came out. Okay. So I'm swapping the monitors, which means I have to go under desk. Oh. I have to often be on floors. Yes. And so I had to go downstairs to the basement, which was where the facilities department was located, right? The guys that made sure that all the things were working in the building, planned the meetings and all that kind of stuff. Their office was downstairs. There was also a brother who was a security guard. So I go downstairs and I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So I was already leery. Yes. Of being in a space where I'm in a basement of an office building with men.
Yes. Okay.
So I go down and do my job and I'm swapping out the machines. I have to crawl under the desk. And the two of these men start having loud conversation. And one of them says, yeah, we need to get a pole down here and put up a pole, you know, and see what's popping. And they're just making all of these lewd, explicit comments. And mind you, I'm all of 18 years old.
A baby.
I'm a baby. Mm-hmm. And these are grown men. Grown men. And so when I returned back to my office, I said, could you please not give me any more help desk calls for the basement? Mm. So the gentleman we're still friends today. The gentleman that kind of was my direct supervisor, he said, did something happen? And I said, no, but I'm not comfortable, right? Because that was the instinct of not wanting to raise any red flags, not wanting to get anybody in trouble, right? Yes. Not understanding at 18 that it's not me getting them in trouble. It's their behavior getting mm-hmm. them in trouble. And so he said, Candace, did something happen? And I told him what happened. And he said, okay, I'm going to take care of it. Mm. The next day, mm-hmm. the security guard was fired. The very next day, he was fired. But you know what happened? The facilities manager, who was bantering in the conversation with him, because I couldn't say, oh, him too, right? He's also said. But then he came to me, he said, see, man, you got my man Mitch fired. Man, see what you did? Right, wow. Man, you called the people on that man.
I would feel threatened immediately.
So when you ask why we don't speak up, right? Why are we more at risk and less likely to seek support and help? That's why. Mm. Because the backlash, when we go against the expectation of protecting Black men, can sometimes mean our lives.
A lot of times it can backfire. I know it had to have taken so much courage for you to even just say what you said. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're 18, you're in my mind, you're still a baby. Mm-hmm. Having to go through that experience and then having to even speak on it, because I don't even know, see, if I would have even had the capacity to do what you did. And that's why I know it took a lot, because for me, based on my conditioning, mm-hmm. in my mind, saying something means he's going to come back and he's going to do yes. something to me.
Yes, because a lot of times perpetrators, whether male or female, because
we know that there are also female perpetrators, but perpetrators are often emboldened by community, whether that community is family, coworkers, yeah. people at school, folks on campus. Imagine the reduction in incidents if people started to hold abusers accountable. Mm. If people start to say things like, no, she's going to come to family dinner, right? She's welcome at Christmas. You are not. Mm. Hm. We don't accept that type of behavior or treatment in this family, at this school. I have the privilege of supporting women at a local university. Mm-hmm. Sexual assault is pervasive on campus.
Wow.
And most of them never report it, because then you have the friends or fraternity brothers of the person that you have reported. Yes. Then you have to go into a space at the school and prove your case. How do you prove sexual assault? Right? Probably nobody on campus, unless it's a brutal assault, mm-hmm. actually goes to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So yeah. we are constantly putting the onus mm-hmm. to navigate those situations on the person who was disempowered to begin with. yes. the victim. But that is how most systems are set up. They're set up so that we can do away, or we can kind of hush mm-hmm. the instances that are difficult to prove, right? Because police oftentimes don't feel like going to question people, don't feel like, you know, researching and doing their due diligence when it comes to someone being sexually assaulted. And then we're not talking about walking down the street and being kidnapped. We are talking about what's called coercive rape.
Now, what is that?
Excuse me. So coercive means that it's not by brute force most of the time. Mm-hmm. It is by creating an environment in which a person might feel more willing to have sex. It looks like this. It looks like, excuse me, it looks like inviting a woman over, or a man, because I have had some instances where women have been perpetrators of sexual assault. That does happen. But it looks like inviting a girl over to your place to Netflix and chill. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I'm sorry. My sinuses are sinusing
yes. today. All good.
They're doing the most.
Yes.
But coercive looks like inviting a woman over and intentionally priming her with alcohol, right, to reduce inhibition, wanting to get closer. I can't tell you how many women, even friends of mine, like at our big age, mm-hmm. when I have friends that are out here dating, they're like, he asked me to come over and lay with him. I don't want to have sex. I just want to lay. Mm-hmm. Or if we're watching a movie, wouldn't it be better if we like lay down and watch the movie? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Or, oh, we're at a party. You've been drinking. You can't drive. Let me take you to my place to make sure you're not driving drunk.
Oh my gosh.
And then essentially, while this person might be inebriated, not have all of their mental faculties to be able to consent mm-hmm. or just be passed out drunk or sleep drunk, mm-hmm. right? Commencing to have sexual intercourse or sexual experiences with a person and they can't consent, or a person saying, no, you know, not right now. This isn't what I came for. Well, you know, trying to finesse mm-hmm. that person into sexual behaviors or interactions or full out intercourse. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. So most people will tell you, well, I don't even know if it was rape, right? He didn't grab me by the throat.
Yes.
He didn't, you know, accost me and then pull me into a closet or a room, right? I went to his house, or I had been drinking, right? Because those are the circumstances that make the assault for people who are untrained very cloudy. Mm-hmm. But every time I hear it, right, because of my training, because of my experience, I have no issue with saying you were raped.
Yes. Thank you.
You were sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. Well, was I? Absolutely. Did you say yes? Because it's not she didn't say no. It's mm-hmm. she didn't say yes.
Yes. And that yes be a yes. Yes.
Yes. A mm-hmm. clear, emphatic yes.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. Women are conditioned very early to put the needs, wants, and the pleasure of other people above them.
Yes.
When you are a three-year-old little girl and you have your favorite toy or your favorite snack and someone asks for it and you say no,
you can't.
What are you told?
You're being selfish. You need to share, like all kinds of things. You're being bad.
And to be what? You need to be a good girl.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if at the age of three, where we are just coming into our first sense of autonomy, mm-hmm. the ability to say, no, this is mine because my mommy brought it for me. My daddy gave it to me. It's mine, that I don't have to share if I don't want to. Mm-hmm. We say things like this. You see, she's sad. You hurt. When you said no, you hurt her feelings. Be a good girl. So now you're conditioning.
And that is so mean. That is so mean. That's not a nice, you're not being nice right now.
You are. Yes. And mm-hmm. so we want to be seen as good people. Yeah. The average person wants to be seen as a good person, yeah. right? So what happens is we don't outright say no, because we have not felt and gotten comfortable in our bodies mm-hmm. with other people's disappointment.
Oh my gosh. Speak on it.
We have not gotten comfortable enough to say, your feelings ain't mine. No. You go deal with that. You go deal with the disappointment or you being pissed and saying no. So let's, because I'm going to apply that somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So when in college, it was homecoming. This guy who later I found out this just was kind of his MO, right? So I'm in college. I'm maybe 20 at the time. And this is big back when Escalades was real big. And if you had the little spinning rims, it was even it was even better. He was hitting on something.
Yeah.
So the guy, it's homecoming. I'm going through some stuff. My best friends, they went to some parties. I was like, nah, I'm going to stay here. So this guy, he says, hey, you know, what are you up to? I'm like, nothing. I'm just kind of chilling. And, you know, I went to Howard. So homecoming was big. He was like, you're not out like in the festivities. I was like, nah, I got too much going on right now. So picks me up, takes me to his house. He lived in Maryland. And on the way up, he was like, are you hungry? I was like, yep. I want some Chinese food. So he got me some Chinese food from a carryout. We go to his house. First, he lies and says, oh, I'm staying with my mother because there was a flood in my apartment and my floors are being redone. My brain was like, yeah, you live with your mom. But okay.
Okay.
No words. Mm-hmm. Not a deal breaker. So we get there and we are sitting in the den area and I'm trying to eat my food. And then we're watching a movie and I can see him getting like a little fidgety. So he mm-hmm. says, why don't you let me you want to like lay down and get more comfortable and I can massage you?
Of course. Of course.
And I was like, no, I want to eat my food. So I finished mm-hmm. my food. He's like, you ready for that massage?
Oh God.
And I'm like, yeah, you can rub my back. So I lay down like on the floor. It's like a little pallet. I lay down on the floor. And he's like,
not the pallet.
Well, you might be more comfortable if you take your clothes off. I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And you can take me home right now. So he gets pissed. We're in the car. He drives me back to campus, says nothing the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then he said, like, I get out. And I don't know if he said bye or like, if he said anything, but I got out, you know, closed the door, walked up to my dorm. And I was just like, It's so common for men to expect sex. I'm so sorry, excuse me. To expect sex that when they don't get it, there's that disappointment. And if I had been worried about how he was going to feel, I may have been coerced mm-hmm. into having sex that I did not want to have.
Yeah,
but I didn't give a damn.
Yes.
Right? Because I could have called plenty of relatives to come pick me up.
Come through.
Or called a cab. Mm-hmm. So it happens often. It does not discriminate. However, like Malcolm X said, that when anything that happens to, you know, the majority in America, Black folks catch it. You know, 10 times work. We tend to get the flu when other folks have a cold. Mm-hmm. So it happens more often, more frequently to us, and we're less likely to be believed.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. So many directions I can go with this, and we have so little time. Mm-hmm. I just want to take a second in case that was a lot, just the last few minutes for anyone listening, like just take a breath. Feel you. We feel you. Like I said, so many directions on this. First of all, I just have to keep circling back to you and how you have just survived so much bullshit, as a lot of Black women have. I'm thinking about young Bree, because I don't know how old you are, but I'm damn near 50.
Okay. And
I can tell you now very firmly that I have been in some situations where that has happened to me. And it was, what do you call it? Coercive rape. For me, my conditioning, and this may be some other listeners as well, this is the only, this is why I'm making the point. For me, my conditioning.
I'm a fresh-faced, minimal makeup kind of chick, and one of my best features is my eyes. So off and on, I'd be bummed because no matter the brand of mascara I used, my eyes would end up itchy, and the mascara would clump and flake all over my face. Girl, it was just a mess. Every girl deserves a great lash though, right? So these days, I'm so stoked to have found Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. You've seen it, right? It's the viral mascara in the turquoise tube that is all over your socials. It lengthens and defines the look of my lashes and makes my eyes pop. Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara features a formula that has zero sulfates or parabens. It's buildable, it makes my eyes look brighter, and it's super easy to remove at the end of the day. All it takes is a gentle wipe off with warm water and a cloth, which means no excessive rubbing, tugging, or irritation. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/self-care. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/self-care for 20% off your first order.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Made space for a man's voice or his needs. I'm doing that in air quotes, needs to be more valuable and important than me.
Yes.
I specifically, like going back to the whole drunk thing, because your girl was, she was going through some things and alcohol was my friend. And there was a specific window of time where definitely I was in a relationship with someone and that happened where the yes was not yesing. Okay.
Right.
Yes was not yesing. And I was in a relationship with this person.
Right. But so what you're describing is what we call, because people also don't understand and are not clear that rape happens within a relationship. It can happen within a relationship. Spousal rape, very, very real.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have to get away from this idea or this Hollywood dramatization that it's this person that breaks in the house in the dead of night.
Yes.
or is this person lurking in the alley waiting to capture you when you walk by? In my 10 years of practicing, never once have I ever been face to face with a victim / survivor who was assaulted by a stranger.
Yeah.
Never. When we look at the statistics, 92% of people who are assaulted and or raped are assaulted and or raped by someone that they knew. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking about, because there's degrees of knowing a person, mm-hmm. whether it was a neighbor that you converse with, whether mm-hmm. it was an acquaintance, someone in some way that you have been previously familiar with. Very rarely, less than 1 out of 10 mm-hmm. will say it was someone I did not know. I was somehow accosted, and however it happened, you will be very few and few in between to hear of stories like that. Certainly it happens, right? When we talk about serial killers, predators, et cetera, we watch true crime. Yes.
Of course.
But it is not common. So that means that we are raising men mm-hmm. to acquaint themselves with women that they plan to later assault.
Mm-hmm. That is huge. Going back to what you said about how it's usually someone you know, acquaintance, relationship, husband, friend, like whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm reflecting back to the various times in my life where I've been in those kind of situations. One was an uncle, and talk mm-hmm. about under the rug. Like, this was an uncle, and it was just like, he apologized, and that was that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I was maybe, it's very fuzzy going back. So I would say I was maybe mm-hmm. like 8, 9, 10, I'm not even sure. So, and he was like 6, 7 years older than me, I think. But it was just like an apology and life, business as usual. But then also because of my condition, and I was going to say, like, if you like, please don't put the blame on yourself. That is my point. Because it's not you.
Correct. And when I teach workshops or mm-hmm. other therapists and frontline workers, I have to be very clear that if we're talking about either domestic violence or sexual assault, the only cause of those things is the perpetrator.
Yeah.
You can't make or entice someone into harming you. Mm-hmm. People harm because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have on, there was a woman, one of the things that we always commemorate around Sexual Assault Month in April is this woman, I can't call her name right now.
Yeah.
But we wear these little cutouts of jeans with the pin, the ribbon, the teal ribbon, because she was raped while wearing pants. And so what I say is, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter if you had one drink, no drinks, or 10 drinks.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you said yes, and then you started, and then you said, you know what, I've changed my mind.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're at his house. It doesn't matter if he bought you dinner. Those things are not licensed to your body and or your innocence, because once you have been, and I'm not talking about innocence as virginity, I'm mm-hmm. talking about innocence as not being violated, as not having your physical body go through the violence of not being in power of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, well, what did you have on? I could have had on a potato mm-hmm. sack.
You could have been naked.
If he's a predator,
mm-hmm.
predator's going to prey.
You could have had on a full toe length
And and so even if you, right, because there are plenty of sexual assaults that happen in cultures where women only show their eyes, their eyes, you don't know what's under their garb.
Yes.
Right. And then there are plenty of places that honor and value naked bodies, and they report very little rapes. Right?
Yeah.
It's because we are not teaching men.
Yes.
What is what?
Yes. Yes.
We are not raising and holding men accountable, because think about it. What if every time a woman got drunk at a party, that man said, "Hey, who are your, who's your family, your friends? Don't take her home yourself. But let me call a cab for you. Let me call someone so they can come. Someone that loves, supports, cares, cares about you, and knows you. Let me call them so they can get you home." Instead of doing what is, what has happened in a lot of times is, "Oh my gosh, you're drunk. Let me make sure you get home safe," right? And take advantage of this circumstance. And that's not, again, let's be very honest. This conversation is not about every man.
Yes.
But we also need for more men to be accountable.
Yes.
We need for men to say, "Hey, you ain't got to take her home. Let me go ahead and call her mama, her sister, her cousin, her roommate, her boyfriend. Let me do that." Or, "Nah, like, I noticed that you, you know, she looks like she's out of it and you trying to take her to your room. I'm not going to just turn a blind eye and close my door. I'm going to say, nah, don't do that."
Yes. And defend that person as needed until the circumstance changes, whatever that might be. Yeah. Where are the men? And like you said, it's not all men. I know. But it's like,
but if why are we not hearing more of that? What, are you your brother's keeper or not? Because I can go into any room with men and women, and I can say, "How many women have been assaulted?" And one out of three will raise their hand. And then I say, "How many men in here have assaulted a woman?" And they look around like this.
The math ain't mathing on that.
The math ain't mathing.
I'm just saying, I'm not a mathematician, but.
Because it's so easy to justify, explain away, and what you justify you by, right? Well, she ain't tell me no.
Yes. Like, they don't even think that it's that. Because it's
I didn't put a gun to her head. That's one that I hear often.
She didn't fight me back.
Right.
She acted like she wanted.
Because the other thing is too, is if a woman is just lying there, that's a central nervous system response. Because if you already are on top of me, I risk being mortally harmed if I fight back. If you're already on top of me, clearly you have overpowered me. So where do I go from here? To stay still, right? To freeze. Right. My brain is saying, if you freeze, we have a higher chance of making it out, of getting away, to be able to see another day. Right. So we have to stop being ignorant around, one, how the mind and the body respond in situations where one does not feel safe. If you are at a man's home, he knows where everything is in that house. You do not.
Yeah.
Could there be like a weapon under a pillow? Is there another way to get out? Right. You've never been here. You came in.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so, yeah. So we really have to start talking about why rapes happen. Why it's not just on a woman to say no, to fight, to claw, like all of that. You're not going to do that when you are with someone who could kill you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes nothing for a woman to be choked to death.
Yes. That is just, yeah. So as we are worrying about a woman's obligations and all that stuff, it's just like, yeah, but what about these raggedy men? The ones we're talking about today, okay? Mm-hmm. About these raggedy men that are upholding, or honestly, any man that is upholding this system, because you can be upholding this culture, not because you're doing it, like you're not assaulting someone, mm-hmm. but you're not holding other men accountable. I can't hold a man accountable. Mm-hmm. I can't make another man.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say?
So that's why the onus isn't on women, right? And so I think most women can say, like, when our girlfriends, if you are a healthy, whole, and healed friend, mm-hmm. if your girl was doing some stuff that was out of pocket, mm-hmm. you're gonna be like, sis.
Yeah, you're gonna pull like, her aside. You can't, like,
that's you doing this, right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, whether she receives that or not. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a girl that's going out here and she's setting guys up to get robbed, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Most women, when they find out, they're gonna be like, girl, what are you doing? Like,
right.
I would venture to say that in most of the situations and some of the stories that I'm able to recount, there were other men in the vicinity, right? In the next room, down the hall. There were, you know, people kind of knew what was going on. So there has to be, we have to start raising men that will stand up and say, I don't know what your plan was, but it ain't happening today. It's not happening while she's intoxicated. Mm-hmm. It's not happening while she's looking uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just even that, like we are wired to read cues and pick up on signals. I feel like a lot of times, especially in regards to this, people stay silent or men stay silent because, mm-hmm. I don't know, but I just feel like, you know, or you can tell a lot of times when something just ain't right, right? But we need these men to start standing up for women because we can't. I mean, we do, but you know what I'm saying? Like the power is not ours in that regard.
Yes. Yes. Because that's like saying, you know, trying to have an antelope change a lion's mind.
Right.
Right. So it has to come from within the in-group.
Right.
Yeah. Because you can't, that's like Black people trying to eradicate racism in a system where they aren't the ones in power.
Yes, exactly.
That it will never work.
Right.
It won't work until the people who are in power start saying, yeah, we can't continue to move like this. This is oppressive. This is harmful. This is whatever. So no.
So I don't even know if this is a question that you can answer. I mean, you can from your lens of expertise, but just what is the solution? What is the path forward? Like in your expertise, like as a, because on top of that, there's another layer of like, for I don't mm-hmm. have a son, I have a daughter, but mm-hmm. as a Black mom, let's just say I had a son, like we're mm-hmm. there is some responsibility there in just educating. But I feel like it still comes back to, at the end of the day, the Black woman needs to take care of this problem, even when raised, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't know. What's the solution?
So I don't think that there is a one-off solution.
Yeah.
I think that there's layers to it, and it's a very layered, nuanced, and complicated remedy. One, sexual assault is historical. It yeah. is not, right? So we are not going to be the generation to eradicate sexual assault. That's mm-hmm. not going to happen. So we have to be very realistic about what we're talking about. What it does look like is women being very careful to take care of themselves, not prevent, but to take care of themselves, meaning mm-hmm. if you know that you are going to be in a place where there may be, where anything could happen, you always have a friend. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't trust yourself
to make good decisions when you plan on participating in activities that can skew your decision making.
Yeah.
Right? The other part is take time to get to know people. Because here are one of the things that I found to work very well. If you are dating a man or this man shows interest in you, and remember, fellas, this can go both ways. Mm-hmm. But if you're dating someone that has shown interest in you and they say, yeah, so we won't get together. Well, we can meet for coffee tomorrow. Oh, well, I was thinking you could come by the house. No, that's not going to work for me. That's already a cue.
Yeah.
Because the first couple of times that we meet are going to be at the park, the coffee shop, a restaurant. It's going to be public. Mm-hmm. And if he is pushing for you to meet in private and he is just getting to know you, you already know what it is.
Yeah.
You already know what it is. Well, I want to be able to have private conversation. Well, if you're at a restaurant with me, who else is in the conversation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So if he is pushing to put you in a situation that is uncomfortable, it's okay. Give yourself permission to say, this isn't going to work for me. Please don't contact me anymore. Or it's been insightful getting to know you. I won't be moving forward with this interaction.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You don't owe an explanation. You don't owe a reason why. Trust your instinct. One of the things I love Jennifer Lewis, and one day, God, I hope I meet her because she is my mom too. In my head. I love me some Jennifer too. Lewis.
Yes.
But my favorite clip of her, and I say this to my patients all the time, where she says,
I already know it's crazy.
And then the host of whatever show she was on says, are you like this all the time? And she says, every effing day. Trust your intuition.
Yes.
It know, even when it doesn't know the why,
mm-hmm.
it knows. And you don't need to know the why to keep yourself safe.
Come on.
Stop man. Needing to know everything and get your, just run. Yes. Run.
Yes.
You don't need to know the why, the details, and I need closure. No, you don't need closure.
Yes, ma'am.
You need safety.
Yes, ma'am.
You need to be putting your intuition above what other people think and what they say and what they feel and what the car look like and what the bank account look like. I don't care who you are. If I don't feel safe with you, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
So we have to be
a reason.
We have to be that courageous. We have to be that sold out to ourselves.
Mm.
Say, look, I don't know what you was planning, and yeah, that sounds good, that looks appealing, but something's not right, so I'm going to pass. It's okay to say that. You don't have to give an explanation as to why. You don't have to check in to see how his feelings. You don't have to do any of that, because this is about you, and this is about you remaining safe in your body, your spirit, and your soul. That's why you have your intuition. Use it.
Yeah, we talk about that on the podcast. Absolutely.
Use it.
How, though, does someone that has not been used to using her voice or used to listening to her intuition, because that's hard. That was hard for me for
decades. Of course. Of course. And it's hard when you've been victimized. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you haven't been raised to amplify what you feel and what you think.
Yeah,
you're right. It is hard.
Yeah.
But you start with very small things.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of womanhood is that the womb, right? The connection between the womb and the heart is the intuition.
Mm.
What you feel and what you are sensing. Because remember, it isn't a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can know a man as a dog and still sleep with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know who that's for.
Yeah, we can.
We can know a man is married and not of good morals and still entertain him. We know a lot of stuff and we still make bad decisions.
Right.
But if your soul is sensing that something isn't right, that despite this person's words, actions, appearance, it don't settle with me. I had a young woman, she came in and we were just checking and she said, yeah, you know, I'm kind of dating, but this guy, you know, seemed nice. And we were talking and something didn't sit right.
Okay.
And I said, okay. She said, and so I just kind of said, okay, yeah, you know, we can exchange numbers and I'll holler, okay, or whatever. And she said, she was on the phone. She said, something led her to go to check the sex offender registry.
Oh, wow.
And he popped up. She said, that's what it is.
Oh my gosh.
But we have been conditioned and programmed to silence that little voice in us, because that little voice also told us that our mama was toxic.
Mm-hmm.
That little voice also told us that the uncle who liked to hug and all the little girls to sit on his lap, someone right about him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But those were instances where we were probably children and we couldn't stand in our power. And we couldn't say, no, I'm not going to this babysitter's house. And we couldn't say, no, I'm not comfortable here. But you are not that little girl anymore.
Yes.
And the woman that you are today can take care of her and you.
Yes.
So give yourself permission to nurture and care for yourself like nobody else can, because nobody else will.
Yes. We'll see. That is powerful. Like I said, I didn't know what direction exactly the conversation was going to go into, but I'm so glad that we covered these things, because just like, for example, like patriarchy, like just the silencing of women and then the power dynamics and control, and then the victim blaming is her fault. She should have dressed like X, Y, or she should have been in them streets. And in case we have not made it clear in this conversation, the responsibility is not on us. It's just not.
It's not. And I think that as we come into our own power, we recognize what's within our control.
Yeah.
And then the extension of that is holding other people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that may be your local, your city, excuse me, your state legislator. That may mean things that you see, instead of you trying to intervene or turning a blind eye, you document, you make a phone call. I'll call the police in a minute. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. So keeping ourselves safe, but not becoming a bystander.
Yeah.
Understanding that people are always going to make their own choices. That is not something that we can control, but we can decide which side of history we want to be on.
Yeah.
You get to decide that every day.
I know that we need to wrap up, and I'm so thankful to have your voice in this space of healing and support of women and Black women and people that are have gone through trauma, various types, and violence and sexual assault and things of that nature. So again, I just want to thank you for just for being who you are and for showing up for this podcast. Before we wrap up, I want to ask, where can we find you online? And also, if there was one thing that you could leave the Black woman that is listening to this podcast with, if she's been a survivor of violence, assault, trauma, you know, things like that, what would you say to her?
So I can be found, all of my social media handles are C Anderson Live, CEANDERSONLIVE. That's Instagram, Twitter, well, X now, Facebook, et cetera. My website is candacelive.com.
Yeah.
But to my stars who are listening to this podcast or watching this video, I would say to you, a very important sentence that you may not understand until months or weeks later is that you are enough regardless. That regardless means despite what you went through, despite what somebody told you, despite what the messages to you have been, despite what has been a challenge for you, with everything and with nothing, you are absolutely, unequivocally enough.
Yeah.
There is no waiting until this thing to accept yourself. There is no waiting until things are better. There is no waiting until you have more money. There is no waiting until you have graduated. There is no waiting until your kids grow up. There is no waiting until you have a man. There is no waiting until you get rid of your man. Regardless of the circumstance, you are enough.
Yes.
So act accordingly.
Walk that thing out.
Starting today, starting when you take your earbuds out, starting when you press stop on this podcast.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Because if you continue to put off accepting that you are enough, you will have withered and depleted yourself, and you will have nothing left. It is urgent. It is time sensitive. It is today.
Come through with that good word.
Today.
911.
911. The alarms are blaring. The sirens are going off. It's today.
Today. Absolutely. Whew. Well, that was a lot, y'all. If you need some time to process this episode, you know, be gentle with yourself. Take a few minutes. After you hit in, take some breaths. Recenter yourself, because we covered a whole lot today in this short amount of time. But at the end of it all, remember C's words, that regardless, you are enough, and start to just walk that thing out, like, immediately if you haven't been. And don't think that you're too much. There's no room and time for that anymore. So that is it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I want to thank my guest C for giving us that good word, that good energy, and really helping us to feel seen and valued and validated as women, as Black women. Make sure that you support her wherever you can and however you can. Check out her website. I'll put in the show notes. Follow her on Instagram, X, which I do not use, but if you do, follow her there, follow her in all the places, and show up for her so that she can continue to show up for us in this space. But yeah, that's it for this episode. I will see you on the next episode. In the meantime, have a blessed week. Remember that you are enough. This is a 911 call going out to you. Start walking that out today. And I will see you on the next episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Take care.